Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the text. In February, the two Sundays after the Super Bowl, I had mentioned there were a couple TV commercials that had gotten my attention. And not in a good way. You had the Super Bowl ad imploring you to come back to the sea because that's where you evolved from. And the Dodge truck ad telling you to take time for Sunday by staying home on Sunday morning and sleeping in. Well, recently another commercial caught my attention, but in a good way. Under Armour, the makers of athletic gear, they use a famous quote from the Greek philosopher Aristotle. We are what we repeatedly do. He goes on to speak of excellence being a habit. I saw this commercial a couple weeks ago for the first time, and it got me thinking about how could I apply that concept from Aristotle to other aspects of life, not just exercising. Well, I walk into the 7th grade classroom there at St. James the next morning and notice a poster in between the whiteboard and the smartboard with that quote from Aristotle, "We are what we repeatedly do." I've been teaching there for 6 months. Never noticed it. Apparently being perceptive is not something that I repeatedly do. But this past Monday, as I sit down, look at the text for the week, and read the words of St. Paul, he speaks of wisdom. Now, the first thing he talks about is how Jews are more concerned with signs. We talked about that last week. They wanted Jesus to put on a show. Jesus wanted them to find him in the Word of God. The same is true today. It's not about putting on some show. It's about being in the Word of God because it is there and nowhere else that God permits himself to be found. But Paul goes on and he says, Greeks, that is the Gentiles, they seek wisdom. And God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. Now, when Paul says this, he's not speaking out against quotations like Aristotle's. Wisdom, true wisdom, is trumpeted throughout Scripture. Jesus tells his disciples to be wise as serpents. There's an entire genre of writings within the Bible called the wisdom literature, like the book of Proverbs is a part of that. Wisdom is not the problem. The so-called wisdom of the world is the problem. The wisdom of the world says, well, that there's really no need for God. There's really no need for anyone to have atoned for your sin. Or if he is needed, at least to get life rolling along, he's an impersonal force of nature off in the distance, maybe looking down from on high, but he is not your father or your redeemer, your brother, and he does not dwell within you, making your body his temple. The world thinks of that as foolishness. Paul says the cross is folly, is foolishness to those who are perishing. Christ crucified and risen from the dead is foolishness to the world. Paul's not speaking out against the wisdom of quotes like Aristotle's. We are what we repeatedly do. On the contrary, Paul would agree. Aristotle didn't know how correct he really was. You know, we are what we repeatedly do. Therefore, clearly, I am a poor, miserable sinner. Even St. Paul says, the good that I want to do, this I do not do. But the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am. We are what we repeatedly do. I am a sinner. But God does not leave us to be defined by our sin. It is true we are what we repeatedly do. Except even this truth is made foolish in Christ in the waters of baptism. We are baptized into Christ once. That is who we are, a newborn child of God. Period. Have confidence in your baptism. God washed you clean once and for all. However, although you have received everything that you need for salvation in the new life, in the new birth of baptism, that new life must be fed and nourished. Your spiritual birth is much like your physical birth. You are alive through no act of your own. You did not will yourself into existence, and you did not will yourself into the church. Now, much like your physical life, your spiritual life is such that you can survive for a while with no help from the outside. However, it will not take long for that new life, be it physical or spiritual, to wane away if proper food and care are not provided. Physical health and spiritual health each require food, care, exercise. Someone asked me this past week what the most frustrating part of my ministry is. And I had to think about it for a minute. And I told him, I said, the most frustrating part, it's not just apathy. You know, people just not caring. I mean, there's plenty of that in the world. And we should expect that in this sinful world. Now, the most frustrating part is being able to see obvious spiritual problems that are plaguing someone, and they are completely unable to see that what they are doing or what they are not doing is causing immense, possibly eternal spiritual harm. It's like there's this wall blocking them from seeing the truth. Well, what I didn't get to say, as we were in the midst of a public venue, I didn't have the microphone at that time, and so I needed to be quiet after giving my part of my answer. But what I didn't get to say is that this frustration, in a strange way, is also a comfort, and really is what allows me to sleep at night. I don't have the power to tear down that wall. Tearing down that wall is not going to happen because I came up with clever enough words. This is the work of the Holy Spirit alone. I can't take the Holy Spirit and shove it down your throat, feathers and all. Oh, that I could. My ministry would be very different if that were possible. But I can't, and no one else can. It is His work. And His work happens beyond our work. I cannot do anything to forcibly create faith in the crucified and risen Christ for you or your loved ones so that you receive God's grace. You could say, unless, of course, you bring that person to be baptized. But then again, it's not really me doing the work. My hand may apply the water and my voice may speak the words. but it's not me creating faith. However, I can, as a called and ordained minister of the church, feed and nurture that new life with the gifts that God has given his church. This is where Aristotle becomes useful. We are what we repeatedly do. Last week, we focused on being immersed in the Word of God. That is where God permits himself to be found. And his Word is a great gift that we can hear the voice of God. He comes to us. His Son speaks to us in his Word and brings us true grace and peace. But that's not the only gift that we have. Why do we confess our sins each week? We are repentant sinners. We are what we repeatedly do. Thanks be to God that he has given his church this wonderful gift to pronounce forgiveness. That Christ gave to the disciples and to the church that they established the authority to pronounce in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You get to hear those words repeatedly every week. Speaking those words, it is one of the great joys of being a pastor. That the grace of God is spoken by God's command to his people. Back to the frustrating part, being a pastor. I plead with people. I plead with parents who are raising their children outside of regularly coming to worship. And there's this wall. They don't understand how they are starving themselves and starving their family when they have not heard those words of absolution in such a long time. Not to mention eating and drinking that which Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And then they'll come one Sunday, and won't be seen again for a few months. Well, they came once, and you know, you go home, and nothing really changed. This wall is still there. Well, the sanctified life of the church, which is the Holy Spirit's work in you, it's like growing older. I mean, first you're born in baptism, and you are brought to life through no act of your own. This is God's work. You are made alive. Well, this new life, though, it requires care, nurture, food. And you grow up. The hard part about growing up is that the more grown up you are, having the faith of a little child becomes increasingly more of a challenge. How does your faith look on any given day? It's like looking in the mirror. You looked in the mirror yesterday. You look in the mirror today. You don't notice a change after one day. But after a year, 5 years, 10 years, there is much change. We are what we repeatedly do. The Word of God, the Gospel, changes you. You aren't going to notice it one day to the next. Except for maybe the day of your baptism, that's a big change. Well, the season of Lent, it focuses on the fact that there is change that needs to take place. Because we look into this mirror Lent forces you to look into the mirror of God's law. It requires you to see your sin, to confess your sin, and to find God's forgiveness in the foolishness of Christ crucified. Only He can tear down that wall. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.